heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor. Honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
Of a nation.
Of a nation.
Of a nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Millions of people in America and many, many millions around the world are still indeed struggling here. 4 years after this virus, this bioweapon was released onto the world. And we surely have reported on it many, many different ways here on America Out Loud. But I'll tell you what, the further we get away from the epicenter of this disaster, the more our eyes become wide open as to what took place. And, you know, it is important, like everything in history, you've got to be able to add historical context to these debates and discussions to be able to prevent them in the future, or at least to be well educated as to how they got away with it, you know. And I think many of you are shaking your heads as well. But again, people are still suffering. We see the correspondence come in here. People's lives have been altered to the degree they never would have ever imagined. And many did not escape with their lives, frankly. So that is another point of context there. Welcome into the Voice of a Nation. It is Malcolm Out Loud here. Thank you for joining me, my fellow Americans on the mission. Privileged to have you here always. Now, a big conversation today we're going to have. And I've got some very special guests that'll be coming on the broadcast shortly here. And we'll be talking a little bit more about this. But when you... When you understand some of the developments that are just shocking, just absolutely shocking, of how people they did more than coerce. I mean, it was like people being hypnotized, if you will. But the way people felt compelled to follow. The betters, the elites, for whatever adjective you wish to call them. I'm sure many of you out there have many adjectives you could fill into the blanks right there, but we'll keep this upfront and clean here, you know? But you know what I'm saying. But when you see some of these people, and today we're going to really discuss in detail how the faith community, using prayer, using God, how this community was really, whatever you want to call it, friends, but manipulated would be one word, I guess. They were almost got into a trance themselves, but they were asked to go to their flocks and tell the flocks really a barrel full of lies, of disgust and deceit, and to convince people to stand in line to get these shots. Whatever you want to call them again. I mean, vaccine is a stretch, to be sure. But, you know, this is a serious, serious thing. So on the broadcast today, we will have Dr. Jim Thorpe is here, and Maggie Thorpe is an attorney as well. They are just really a remarkable, I always call them on air, they probably don't even know this, a power couple, because I do see them that way, really. The work they do and their commitment to the truth is duly noted here, for sure. So it was a particular op-ed that was put onto the broadcast, onto the network. U.S. government coerced leaders. Coerced is a friendly word, by the way, compared to when you see what has taken place here. Coerced leaders of faith to push COVID-19 vaccines on Americans. And, you know, when you think about the fact, and Dr. McCullough and I talked about this the other day, you know, 75-80% of the people have taken at least one shot. Many have taken 6, 7, 8, 9. I think they're up to 10 now, boosters and shots, whatever they may be. I have no idea, but it's out there, man, really. And, but now the CDC, as Dr. McCullough was telling me the other day on our broadcast, they kind of report that 90 whatever, 93, 95, or some ridiculous number, which he does not believe is accurate. Like, that would be a stretch. Like, they would say something that's not accurate, huh? but that they actually professed like that would be like by everybody did it. But we don't believe that's the case. I don't know that it isn't or is, but that's what's being said anyways. So let me, so this whole thing with, and it really gets into some really egregious points with Francis Collins, the NIH director at the time, and some things that he said as well. And there was a national summit I want to tell you about as well. But let me first bring on here Dr. Jim Thorpe and Maggie Thorpe. I want to welcome both of you. You did a lot of dot connecting, you and Maggie did in this piece, a tremendous amount of dot connecting. But let's bring it back to the NIH, Francis Collins, and whoever wants to start. But give us a sense of what you uncovered up front when you started to look at the faith community and the way they was duped. And I want to start with the fact there was a Faith for Vaccines National Summit in May of 21. This is the largest religious summit of its kind that was held with some over 800 registered faith leaders, et cetera. Connect some dots for us there, please.
Yeah, thanks, Malcolm, for having us on your show. So basically, the Faiths for Vaccines was a member of the COVID-19 Community Core. Okay. And it was basically what happened was through this organization and through other tactics, through kind of partnering with this organization, the Biden administration, you use the word coerced. You know, I think that exploited is not too strong of a word.
Wow.
They really exploited faith leaders and people's, frankly, their belief in God to try to push these shots on people in the spring of 2021. And so basically, you know, when we kind of looked into the details of it, it was pretty shocking what occurred.
Yeah, some of the comments where he was talking and he was trying to convince faith leaders to go to their flocks, I guess is the word he was using. And I'm actually going to play in just a little bit a little piece from him himself, but he was telling to go to their flocks. What kind of things was he saying to these leaders of faith, Maggie? What was he saying to them to tell them to tell their flocks?
Yeah, well, first off, he kind of launched into something that we know is not true now, and that telling them that the vaccines were safe, that they were developed with incredible care and scrupulous attention to safety, I think was the words that he used.
Yeah.
But then he kind of goes into this whole theological manipulation where he tells them that this is a love your neighbor moment. And he actually told the leaders at this national summit, and there were about 800 faith leaders all over the world, but he actually told them that the vaccines were a literal answer to prayer. And then on top of that, he really derided people who would have opposed these vaccines, calling them, you know, people that would have concerns that this was misinformation and that these shots were safe in pregnancy. And I mean, clearly there was no way in May of 21, there was no indication that these shots were safe in pregnancy at that point in time. I mean, we won't actually, you know, long-term studies won't be available for years. So basically what he did was, in my opinion, was really spiritually abusive. He targeted these faith leaders with tactics that then he encouraged them to go as trusted members of the community to tell their own congregations. And in fact, at the summit, they had a slide up that said that that the faith leaders had a moral imperative to bring this, to push the shots essentially on their congregations. So it really did shock the conscience, not only what he said, because a lot of it wasn't true, but really the spiritually abusive tactics that he used, taking theological principles out of context and things like love your neighbor. These are spiritually abusive tactics when they're taken out of context and they're used to try to manipulate or convince people to take a certain action.
Well, you used the perfect word moments ago, exploitation, right? Right? I mean, exploitation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, by doing this, he was even called by the mediator of this conference. He was called, I believe it was Reverend Doctor at one point. I mean, he really took the position and spoke on the position as if he were God and claimed to know God's position on this, which was, you know, the right thing to do here to protect everyone is to take this shot.
And you're speaking of Francis Collins now.
Correct. Thank you. Right. I'm speaking of Francis Collins.
Okay.
And, you know, when you claim to know, when Francis Collins takes this position and claims to know God's position on an issue like this, I mean, there is absolutely no room for debate of any kind.
Right.
You know, that's the first huge problem. And secondly, you really posit the people who are sort of receiving this opinion as if he were God, anybody who would challenge it, you really position them as not just opponents of the speaker, but as opponents of God. And that's exactly what he did. I mean, these are spiritually abusive tactics that are just right out of the history books. Being used in different contexts, in my personal opinion.
Well, a lot of this also now helps explain, though, Maggie, Jim, how they got away with it, how they convinced so many people, how they got away with. I mean, because I was stunned as to how many people stood in line for a novel product that was EUA, never approved, agreed, was hardly tested on animals, let alone anybody else. And yet he goes ahead and says, well, these things are 95% effective and are God's answer to prayer. I mean, he should be charged. He should, I mean, as a leader, I mean, what, Dr. Jim Thorpe, what do you think about that? I mean, you see how outrageous, egregious these statements are. You'd think that, well, I mean, I don't know what laws he broke there, but I certainly think somebody like this, these people should be charged.
I'm in complete agreement with you, Malcolm, and also with Maggie. You know, Maggie and I have talked about this extensively. Maggie, with her divinity degree, especially during the pandemic from Duke, and the professors and the way that they would manipulate the scripture, it's so abusive and it's so wrong. And to have the frank scientific lies that were perpetrated from that summit. And, you know, I didn't really listen to that summit until before, you know, weeks before we wrote the article. And I tortured myself with listening to every second of it. And I finally realized, because I'm a very strong believer and follower of Jesus Christ, and I've had very strong ties in my local and regional and national communities of pastor friends.
Right.
And you know, Malcolm, I lost most of those friends locally. They wouldn't return my calls. They shunned me because of my public position. So I was very distraught. The scriptures that they put out in the toolkit, oh my gosh, Malcolm, they were just abusive, especially the scripture from Deuteronomy. It is so abusive.
Yeah, that summit, by the way, Dr. Thorpe, that was about 3.5 hours, or at least that's at least what was on the YouTube. Was it? Is that what I understand? Yeah, yeah.
Yes, and it was painful. And, you know, it came straight from the commander-in-chief. Remember, Jeffrey Zients. He was the chief of staff of the White House. He was in charge of the COVID response.
Yeah,
it's horrible. He was on the film. You know,
let me ask you, Dr. Thorpe, how do you, I mean, just off the top here, how badly all these people that Trump had around him, was Trump, it's a serious question now, was Trump duped at all? Does he share responsibility in this? What's your honest reaction to that?
My honest reaction, and I'll be very honest with you, I was a strong Trump supporter. I really truly believe that Trump could be now really spiritually compared to King Cyrus right out of Isaiah. I really do believe that. And as you know, the Israel printed a silver coin with both Trump and King Cyrus's name. Trump is a sinner just like you and I, but Trump did some great things, monumental things. But now, you know, what I see here is his tweets pushing the vaccine.
Yeah.
You know, I can never endorse him for that. And he's got to come around and be honest with the American people. And yes, he was duped. Remember, you know, Dr. Steve Hatfield is one of my close friends now. Mm-hmm. And he was in the war room, you know, with Trump. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they accumulated 62 million doses of hydroxychloroquine. And, you know, Trump himself took hydroxychloroquine. So he has a really good excuse for being duped. He was knifed in the back purposely by Fauci and Birx and the pharmaceutical complex.
But a lot of people, to your point of the tweets and the post on Truth Social just in the past many days, as you probably have seen over the past week and a half, there's been a bit of an outrage on our network and platform as well from very notable people. And they ought to have taken offense to his messaging as to why he hasn't gotten the memo yet, Jim. And I guess, so let me ask you, Maggie, do you have any idea? You probably don't have an answer for this, but do you have any ideas to why he hasn't gotten the memo yet?
You know, that's a great question. And that's the question that everybody really would like an answer to. And I don't have any answer other than he may have some personal reservations about, you know, this is the only thing I can think of, that he would have some kind of personal reservations about actually admitting that he was duped, and in the event that it would make him appear weak, or he just maybe personally can't do that, which is a problem. But those are just guesses, you know, on my behalf.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't normally come down off his tree branch when once he puts a position out there, to your point. He doesn't normally do that. In fact, I think he even talks about that in his books, that the best form of leadership is to surround yourself with the best people, and that you're accountable to that point. But many people would suggest with the deep state and the bureaucratic state is the words I use really to reference this behemoth of a federal government that is out of control. And I think he seems to be apprehensive and not willing to do that. I think what's scary to most of us here, frankly, is that he's risking the base. He's risking strong patriotic voices. He's risking Republicans. He's risking conservative voices and moderates and independents who believe firmly that these vaccines, these are a bioweapon and a cancer to the system and should not be taken into the human body. I think he's taken a hell of a risk. And now with RFK in the race and all, not that I was looking to do politics here, but I think it's a real gamble here without, you know, I've often prayed, Jim, to the point of what you're talking about here, that he would have a press conference and really just come out on the steps and just have a just straightforward press conference conversation with the American people as to the fact of that leadership and what had transpired there. Because this isn't all on one person, Fauci. I mean, Fauci is a quack. There's no doubt about it. But there's a lot of quacks up there, frankly. But why not just have an honest conversation? You know, that's what I'm always talking about, Jim, and asking our political leaders to do. Just get on the Capitol steps and get the cameras out there and just have a chat, an honest conversation, or light the fireplace up and do what reservation, have a fireside chat if you need it, whatever you want to do. I don't know, go out on a snowy mountain and do something. Turn a camera on and just give us the truth, man. What's wrong with that, Jim?
Well, I think that's exactly what he should do, Malcolm. I have two close friends who I won't mention their names, that converse with Trump regularly, and they have his ear. And when I've talked to them about this, they allude to the fact of exactly what Maggie just stated, that he doesn't have the ability You know, like, for example, I do, you know, I've come out every and take every opportunity I can to repent and apologize for sins, errors that I've made in my career, i.e. pushing vaccines 15, 10 years ago, even in pregnancy. So I've probably hurt, injured, and maybe killed some patients, but because I trusted the system, I trusted the science. So I take it very serious that the errors that I might have committed professionally, and I take every opportunity to repent. You know, people like Peter Bragan and other psychiatric friends and psychologists and experts in that I'm aware of that are my friends tell me that very low single digit percentage of the population have the ability to do it. And so I don't think he has that in his ability. Now, I want to hearken back to, you know, I personally, I'm a military, I'm a disabled veteran, and I have strong military ties in my family and a heritage. And I think President Trump was one of the greatest presidents in the history of the country. I really do. And I do believe the election was stolen from him. Now, having stated that, you know, God doesn't use perfect people. We're all sinners. I mean, look at King Nebuchadnezzar. Look at King Cyrus. And then one important thing. Look at one of the worst presidents in the history of the United States of America. It was Jimmy Carter, in my opinion. He was one of the worst, yet he's a very godly man. So this, I think, underscores the importance of the fact that, you know, God uses all leaders and they don't necessarily align with him, but he still uses them.
Yeah. And it's a valid point, Jim. And, you know, many people would suggest at this moment that compared to the current administration of Joe Biden and his cabal, they make Jimmy Carter look like an amazing political scientist at this point, and probably on the has redeemed himself, in other words, as a president. That's how bad the current state of affairs are. You subscribe to that thinking as well?
Well, I think that this administration is completely off the rails. I mean, we're headed on a speeding bullet to complete fascism, communism, totalitarianism. Yeah. And you're much younger than I. But, you know, I remember in the late 70s, I was in medical school, and it was a horrible time in 1979. We were licking our wounds from Vietnam. There were horrible double-digit inflation. Jimmy Carter was a complete failure. Remember, that was a hostage crisis. We were held hostage. We failed in a hostage attempt, killing several of our soldiers. We were literally mocked in the world. And it wasn't until a few events spiritually that I think, you know, and physically that turned the country around. You know, one of them, in my opinion, was the famous Miracle on Ice hockey game. And then that I think was the tipping point of the new genre and the new America. And then followed by Ronald Reagan, who got that hostage crisis taken, and he completely reversed the course of the United States of America. But I think the boys of the Winter on Ice was symbolic turn of that. And that's what I'm praying now for our nation. But, you know, I don't see it happening. I don't think that we can have a reversal like we did in 1979.
Interesting. Very interesting what you lay out there, Dr. Thorpe, really, really is. And it gets back to the severity of the moment and where we find ourselves. And I think most of our listeners, they do understand the gravity of the situation and understand that America hangs in the balance. I speak to them all the time about this amazing country we all live in and the fact that we're coming up on our 250-year mark, the semi-quincentennial in 2026, and whatever president takes power in 2025, will lead the charge forward to resurrect our country from the heap of ashes that we find ourselves in, or it will be on a road to what you just described there, Jim, of totalitarianism and a fascist nation that seems to be, engulfing us at every move. And it's not just one thing or two things, but it's about everything in our lives. You almost have to pinch yourself sometimes and understand how some people are in denial for this. And you don't really know if they're in denial or they're part of the problem, you know, really what the equation is. But it's a real mixed bag out there with people in power positions, people in media positions, people in the bureaucratic positions. And I guess what I would subscribe to both of you, and something I talk to my family of listeners all the time about, is what I think we're really in is a fight of good and evil. And I speak about this all the time. I've spoke about it years ago. It was the origins of this show. It came from the fight of good and evil. That was and is the voice of a nation. It was to fight that fight forward, but under the premise of the intentions of good, and that we would fight evil forces. And that I think captures the moment of today and where we find ourselves. And it's why some of the stuff is so unbelievable. We shake our heads sometimes. I'm sure you both do it as well. You probably at night sit there like many of us do with our spouses and loved ones and shake our heads and wonder, we don't recognize the country anymore. We don't recognize the people in position to lead as servants. We don't see that anymore. Do you both agree with that, or you have a different viewpoint?
Yeah, I would completely agree. I feel like this was really an unprecedented entanglement, speaking of fascism, of government and religion, which, the legalities of whether or not this violated the Establishment Clause, I mean, you could debate for days, but I think it's clear that the government entangling themselves in religion in this way, it is really unprecedented. And, why did they do it? Well, Jeff Zients made it clear at the summit. He said, we're in a new phase here. This is May of 21, and not everyone is vaccinated. And this is our agenda, and we're in a new phase. And you, faith leaders, are trusted. And so this whole idea of people that are trusted and institutions that are trusted is hijacking, in my opinion, democracy and freedom as we know it. We've gone from a society that values freedom and individual freedoms to a society that is being directed to put an undivided allegiance into certain government officials and government institutions. And that is the new democracy, according to these people. And it's really frightening. Really frightening.
Well, they certainly have not carried their oath of offices forward, Maggie. They certainly have, they've let their public down, is what's taken place here. All right, let me tell folks, we are talking to Dr. Jim Thorpe and Maggie Thorpe on this just brilliant piece here, which really was eye-opening. It was a bombshell, if you will, is the best way to describe it. U.S. government coerced leaders of faith to push COVID-19 vaccines on Americans. And it really was, the word we used early was extortion. It really was a point of that, what taken place. We're going to bring in now, joining us on the call here, actually a surprise guest here. I invited him in. I said, in between patients, if you could join us, I'd love to have you, as our dear friend and colleague, Dr. Peter McCullough joins us now. And Dr. McCullough and I talked briefly about this piece, actually a little bit here on America Out Loud Pulse this week. It was shocking what we discovered in the dot connecting that was done in this brilliant essay. Dr. McCullough, let me give you the floor and tell us what you garnered out of this piece, and then feel free to ask Dr. Jim Thorpe and Maggie Thorpe questions yourself.
Well, thanks so much for having me on the program, Malcolm, and we're greatly appreciative of Dr. Thorpe and his wife, Counsel Maggie Thorpe, on bringing this story forward. You know, so many people are talking about it all over the country. We're stunned that our U.S. government essentially ran a secret operation, a PSYOP, if you will, on the faith leaders of the country, and the faith leaders actually, in a sense, fell for it. They were indoctrinated, and then they carried forward this conviction that you know, faith for vaccines. They actually carried forward that motto of all the major churches across the country. I was wondering, why is that the case? And now I know. And just for a historical perspective, the Spanish flu, 1918-1920, which was way worse than COVID. Do you know Woodrow Wilson at the time, the president, he never mentioned the pandemic publicly, never. Wow. That it was simply that something that doctors handled and patients handled. And I've said this from the very beginning, if this was just left to the doctors and the healthcare providers themselves with no government interference, we would have had a much better outcome.
Yeah, we sure would have. We talked about the coercion that went on with these faith leaders that were being coerced. They were being forced, pressured to go back and talk to their flocks and put this message out there. Some of the statements from Francis Collins are shocking that he put out there and put it all on God's as answer to prayer. But also, Dr. McCullough, he says here, just this statement alone, that they're 95% effective. Now, he didn't know that. This was back in this summit was back in early 21, May of 21. And they're God's answer to prayer. How would he know? He didn't know they were 95% effective. There was no way anybody would know that. He lied to everybody.
He couldn't have known. And he had already announced through his writings, he already published books, that he has a firm belief system in what could be, you know, I guess termed scientism, that through studying molecular biology, DNA and RNA, that mankind grows closer to God. He believes that. He truly believes that. And so, you know, as humanity was embarking on its first sets of injections of foreign genetic material produced from this high-tech biotech collaborative, you know, NIH, FDA, the CDC, the pharmaceutical companies, you can see how Francis Collins almost certainly was convicted that this was the right thing. He couldn't have known if it was going to work. He couldn't know if it's safe. We only had 1 month of the primary series being injected, Malcolm, and we had 2 months of follow-up. So what would happen at month four? No one would know. No one could have known. So this was, in many ways, Malcolm, this was a leap of faith. This was faith for vaccines. It was a false faith.
Yeah. Didn't you say to me that you felt he had, prior to this, a pretty good reputation and prior to this?
Listen, he was at University of Michigan when I was. He led the Human Genome Project. They sequenced the whole human genome ahead of schedule, under budget. Francis Collins, in many ways, walked on water. He was highly sought after as a speaker. But over the years, you know, preceding the pandemic, he had kind of grown darker in this idea of science and, you know, his closeness to God through genetics. That's his belief. And then I don't know if you saw through the pandemic, though, if anybody saw this, but during the pandemic, during the lockdowns, him and his wife did the most bizarre video. Did you see this?
No.
Yeah, you have to see this. They're in his living room. He's kind of got this cluttered living room. And he's singing, he's playing a banjo or a guitar and singing the most goofy song about lockdowns, as if he's happy that there's a lockdown.
Oh,
and it's all jovial. And it's so bizarre. And that video of Francis Collins, plus Anthony Fauci, in one of his interviews said, the purpose of lockdowns is to get people vaccinated. Those two, you know, memories that I have make me think the entire time that Fauci and Collins, they were on a hell-bent mission. They were convicted in this to get a needle in every arm, no matter what happened.
Let me ask you something that just came to my mind here. With all the leaders, were there any that stood up against this message that they put out there. The only one that comes to my mind, Peter, is Dr. Robert Redfield, who didn't speak up at the time, but afterward, you and I reported on that. He said some pretty startling statements. And really was confessing that this was spoke out about the vaccines and how bad this campaign was. I can't think of anybody else, but maybe there are some.
In terms of scientific leaders across the world, clearly they were scattered across the globe. Yeah. But out of the national leaders that I can recall, it would be Bolsonaro down in Brazil.
Oh yeah.
He said, listen, I took hydroxychloroquine and I got through a fine. I'm not taking a vaccine.
Right.
And you saw what happened there.
Yeah, he paid a price.
Yeah, he paid a price. We've had now some presidents of some of the Eastern European countries say, listen, we're returning this stuff. But everybody else is in many ways been captured. They're captured in some type of trance. This one looked like this was a very intentional operation. This was an indoctrination, and it was specifically designed to try to play on morality. So to make a vaccine like an ethical and religious directive, that's what it was attempting to do.
Well, after you read this piece, what's the biggest question you that comes to your mind that you would ask Maggie and Jim? They're right here with us. Anything come to your mind after really digesting the piece here?
I would ask Maggie and Dr. Thorpe. I have to call him Dr. Thorpe since he's such a large, large figure in the country in medicine. That the question I have is: trust completely broken with our religious leaders now?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and I think I don't have a great answer for it. In this article, I don't so much disparage the faith leaders because I think they were so manipulated. They really wanted to act, as you noted, out of a place of morality, but that they could be so easily fooled is a big problem. And I think that it is incumbent upon them, if they want to re-earn trust, to come out and say, okay, we acknowledge that we were manipulated, and we acknowledge that there have been a plethora of just unprecedented injuries and harms, and by some estimates, millions and millions of deaths. And unless they can come out and do that, I think that it's going to be very difficult to rebuild trust.
Well, Maggie, you're being also very polite with that statement. And I agree with what you say, but I think trust has been duped here. I think people, and certainly if they read your piece, they're going to come away shaking their heads. Dr. Thorpe, what do you say?
Well, I agree with Dr. McCullough. I think it's safe for me to say that we all here share our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And in this Judeo-Christian scripture, repentance is the key of restoring. Listen, as I apologized and take every opportunity I can publicly to confess the sins that I've done, and the harm that I've done earlier in my career, and just, 10 or 15 years ago in pushing vaccines, specifically the influenza vaccine in pregnancy, specifically the DTaP vaccine in pregnancy. And I probably hurt and killed people. And I have a sincere amount of pain in my heart for doing that. I'm an empath, so it hurts me. I can't sleep at night at times for that. So how do I fix that? I publicly admit it, I confess it, and I repent. And that's all I'm asking, for these faith leaders. Yeah, they may have been duped. They, rejected a lot of people like myself. I lost a lot of friends in my church circles and my Bible studies. So I just ask, like I would my physician colleagues, 90% of them, in the country, it's okay that you made a mistake, but the only way you can get out of this deep, slimy pit is to come across like Dr. McCullough's esteemed cardiology colleague, Asim Mahaldra. I have so much respect for not only Dr. McCullough, but, you know, Dr. Mahaldra, because he did just that. He was the poster boy. I mean, he's this young, extraordinarily handsome, young, influential man in the UK. And they used him nationally to push this vaccine. And he came out publicly and repented. And to me, he's a hero for doing that. And that's what I ask of the pastors. If they really believe in the salvation, you know, of repentance through the blood of our Savior and the crucifixion and the death and resurrection of Jesus, then this is what these pastors should do. They should apologize, come out and admit to their congregations, but they're not doing this.
Yeah. Well, I have an idea then, Dr. Thorpe, Dr. McCullough here. I'll tell you what, maybe you need a 501c3, a not-for-profit, and we'll call it COVID Repentance, and we'll invite them all into the altar. How's that sound?
Well, that sounds great if they would donate millions of dollars and help pay for some of the deaths, some of the people that they've indirectly killed and injured in their flocks by pushing the vaccine. These vaccine injured, you know, they need healing. They need support. And nobody's giving it to them, not the federal government, not the legacy media. You know, it's physicians like Dr. McCullough and you know, who's gone around the world, literally, you know, all over the world, you know, preaching, I'll say preaching, but speaking the truth and trying to save people. And yet this is all on his own accord. And, you know, this is very time consuming. It's, you know, Maggie and I, to a lesser extent, have done the same thing. It's very time consuming. It's very costly. But the vaccine injured don't have a refuge. They don't have a support mechanism. They need love. They need spiritual support. They need money. And nobody's giving it to them.
Yeah, for those people that were maimed, as you say, injured severely and death and lost loved ones, that is accurate. Dr. McCullough, let me give you the last word on this here, as I know you're in between things here and a final summation of things. Your thoughts?
We're stunned to understand that our government specifically targeted houses of worship. They very intentionally manipulated our religious leaders at a time of great crisis in our country. And whether or not our government leaders really felt this was the right thing to do, and whether or not our religious leaders felt the same way, it happened. And the only pathway now is to go through this process of having regret and offering apology and then repentance and then ultimately forgiveness. You know, there's a series of stages that has to progress through here. And it's always been said, it's a lot harder to capitulate and admit that one is wrong as opposed to doing the wrong act itself. And we will see this. This is a one-way street. And when the first major leader comes forward and this cracks, then you'll start to see this dam break. The image is in my mind of a cathedral in Europe with a big yellow banner down the front. It says, "Not the blood of Jesus can't save you from COVID. Get vaccinated." So the image is in my mind of the 20 euro coin, the new mystic offering from the Vatican, where it shows a boy about to receive the Eucharist, but instead he's receiving a vaccine. So the biopharmaceutical complex, this coordinated effort of individuals, organizations pushing the vaccines, they have essentially deified the vaccine. They've deified the vaccine. And the great harm, the injuries, disabilities, and deaths that have occurred at the, you know, at the end of this needle, historians will be writing about this forever. We're really at a watershed moment, and it's been such an honor to join Dr. Thorpe and his wife and you, Malcolm. I'm going to sign off now, but great show. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. It's a privilege. That's Dr. Peter McCullough there. And, you know, it's I invited him into the broadcast. I said, you know, come on in. I know it's a busy day in between patients, but he said, let me see if I can do it. And he did. And we really appreciate that. Our friends, we'll take a quick pause. Enjoying your Just Back on the other side here on The Voice of a Nation.
Listen to Malcolm, The Voice of a Nation on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android or Alexa.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Don't accept joint aches and stiffness as part of aging. Doctors at Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexibility. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a gel you swallow. Get 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop. That's AmericaOutLoud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutLoud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all. We join you back here on The Voice of the Nation. It is Malcolm Out Loud here, yours truly, and always a privilege to be with you, my fellow Americans. Thank you for joining us here. Tremendous conversations today with Dr. Jim Thorpe is here, Maggie Thorpe, Dr. Peter McCullough is on with us for a bit here. And you know, I'm sort of, my spirit, my soul has moved a little bit with some of the conversation we just transpired in the just prior to the pause. As Dr. Thorpe was talking about repentance and that we need people to come to that point and do exactly that. It is a lot, and to get people to start to do this. And one of the ways we talked about up front, if we could get some of these leaders to begin to speak truth, and Dr. Thorpe, you and I would talk a little bit about even some of the politics involved and where that is with Trump could be one of those people who could lead the charge to what you just said. If he would have that press conference with the public and share the fact that this Operation Warp Speed, while there were some things, as Dr. McCullough has pointed out, that it did that were notable, these vaccines were not one of them. So that would be a tall order. But the question is, do you see that happening at any point? Does he realize? Are his advisors or is anybody giving him that information that might open his eyes up? To what he's losing out on here, number one. And we know he's important to help save our nation, but it's also important to stop killing people with these shots, Dr. Thorpe, you know?
That's absolutely right. And I don't want to mention any personal names, but like I've mentioned, two people that come to mind that I'm very close with that have conversations with Trump, President Trump. Right. Again, I love the man. He's not perfect.
But what do those people say?
What one of them said 5 times, mm-hmm. He's told this to President Trump, and he's hit a brick wall. He said that He's talked to President Trump about it five times, and he refuses to back down on it. So, you know, listen, God can do all things, but this would be, in my opinion, the greatest thing that President Trump could ever do. Maybe the greatest thing in his life. Maybe this could be a watershed moment for President Trump.
Right, but Dr. Thorpe, I don't think he's going to do it. So based on even what you just said with the advisors and all reports I get back in, is exactly that point, that he is steadfast in his position and is not going to come back. In fact, you see his post this week celebrating and talking about the expedient way these jabs, shots, bioweapons, whatever you want to wish to call them, vaccines is not what they are. But again, he was even duped on the name. He's calling them vaccines. They're not even a vaccine. They went through none of the standard rigorous process of what a vaccine would require. This was a witch doctor medicine of some sort and a wing and a prayer from Satan's playpen, I would suggest, to be able to put out there that killed and maimed countless people and destroyed their lives. Is that overstated, Maggie, or do you subscribe to what I put out there just there?
Yeah, I do ascribe to that, and I think he's got to come around. And I think you pointed out such an interesting correlation between his failure, Trump's failure to admit that he was duped, and what we see in church leadership and in faith leadership right now, where they refuse to come out. And it really could be a watershed moment, and he could set a great example. I don't mean to be giving the faith leaders too much grace, but I'm speaking out of a place of where I was when I was in divinity school. Keep in mind, I was in divinity school at Duke University when the pandemic started. Wow. And, you know, it's my feeling that they were really taken advantage of. I'm not speaking of Duke specifically here, but the faith leaders. And repentance is fine and changing your position is fine, but there needs to be some sort of accountability. Now, I don't point that onto the church, the faith leaders, as much as I do onto these other figures that really manipulated and exploited them. You know, to do that, you would sort of be blaming the victim, Malcolm, if you will. They were the first victims, and their congregants were the secondary victims. But yeah, there does need to be some acknowledgement. There needs to be somebody in a position of power in government really probably should lead the way. That'll never happen unless who knows how, if that will happen, but there needs to be not just turning and saying, hey, you know, we acknowledge what happened, but there needs to be some accountability. So I don't want to leave off without getting, at least that's my opinion.
No, it's good.
Getting that on the record.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you, what you just said in pointing out the victims. And it got me thinking a moment, Maggie, as you were talking, that, yeah, I guess you are right. There are a lot of victims here on multiple levels. I see it. You know, this was all the work of evil. It was the work of Satan, clearly. This is the evilest form of anything I've ever seen in my life. Nothing comes close to this episode. But you're right. Multiple levels of victims. And where are we exactly? So running around and just being part of the problem is not going to be the answer, obviously. But imagine I don't know if something like this exists out there, but if not, maybe it is time for not-for-profit and COVID repentance. Back to your point, Dr. Thorpe, a moment ago here, seeking repentance, to say COVID repentance. Listen, we know that there are a lot of victims here, but we ask for you to speak truth now, to real power of truth, to get the information out there. And, you know, again, God works in mysterious ways. Maybe he will move Donald Trump to do exactly that as well, would be quite the message. A couple things here. First of all, let me tell you both that you, Dr. Jim Thorpe, Maggie, your work is just really marvelous. People really are enjoying the pieces. And Maggie, you put such care and thought into the written word. And so it's to be acknowledged here and commended for that. A lot of love goes into an essay like this. It's a really becomes a and this was a bombshell report here, no doubt about it. There was one after that that I do want folks to go read. And if you just go to the menu, friends, and you go to authors and hosts right off the menu at AmericaOutloud.news, I'll go to Dr. Jim Thorpe and Maggie Thorpe. You'll see there's a picture. There are a couple. You'll see it right there. And then we do sometimes put the couples together for a few, and you'll see that. And one of their recent pieces, just after that piece, was a call for immediate moratorium on the use of COVID-19 vaccines in pregnant women. And this is another really very good piece. And of course, Dr. Thorpe is a well national voice and recognized OBGYN and speaks pretty loudly about this and has from the get-go. And Dr. McCullough has as well. We get a lot of questions in, Dr. Thorpe, on this point right here. And we have from listeners for over the last few years. We've addressed a lot of these in our Q&As that I do with Dr. McCullough, which we do weekly here on the broadcast. We do a lot of Q&As all over the network now. It's a great way to teach. They use them as teaching moments and help far more listeners than just the one-on-one. It's a great way to do it, so appreciate that. So let me tell you both, we to acknowledge your efforts, really appreciate you. And when you take these big topics on and you, as they say, slay the dragon, it's important information to put out there. So thank you both for all your hard work.
Well, thank you so much, Malcolm, for your kind words. I can tell you, just as we get ready to close here, that when I was researching for this article about how the U.S. government targeted faith leaders and came across some of the research, I was so upset and so emotional about it. I couldn't even write. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And I had to really kind of get back into it and wrap my head around it with Jim's help.
And you
but they
it.
Are big topics.
You
and and
it.
I just can't tell you how much I appreciate.
Well, no, you did it. You did it. And what you just said is so important. It just reminds me, Maggie, that your heart is into everything you're doing. And I do know that about you. And thank you for saying that right now, because it reminds me and reminds and tells all our listeners, actually, that you're putting your heart and soul into each of these messages, and they are very important. I love the fact that that we get to do this, and we, you know, it's a privilege every day. I tell listeners that we get to work with such incredible people and voices here in minds of the greatest order. It is one of the probably the greatest blessings that I've enjoyed in this life is America Out Loud and the connectivity of the expertise of the brilliant people who amass this platform. It is truly remarkable. There are days I sometimes, Maggie, Jim, I have to pinch myself to recognize the fact that we have this opportunity. So believe me, it's not lost on us. The work we get to do here is privileged work, to be sure. Thank you both for joining me here. And friends, so make sure you seek out their articles, the various things. And by the way, Dr. McCullough and I did a program, which you will find on podcast as you listen to this broadcast over the weekend, NIH Targets Faith Community in Vaccine PSYOP, and Q&A 106. And that is on the, you'll see that on the front page over the weekend here and on America Out Loud Pulse that we did. We answer a lot of questions in there, but we talk very frankly and directly about this piece that Maggie Thorpe and Dr. Jim Thorpe did. And so tune into that. It's on podcast now, as this one will be in the next day or so. Friends, it's all back there at AmericaOutloud.news. Help us share the out loud truth and wake people up to the truth. And we appreciate you joining us on the mission here. It's time to get involved and get loud, America.